And so my daughter's babysat, actually, for Nancy and her husband at times. And but we were not necessarily particularly frequent friends, but we knew each other. Hospital was, at that time, maybe 30 or 40 physicians. After she was divorced, it turned out that her father was seriously ill with lung disease, and he was my patient, and I became quite fond of him, and then he died, and her mother was a friend as well, more so than Nancy, for that matter. And I learned that Nancy and her husband, were separating, actually, from her parents. And my Peggy had been dead at that time about 2.5 years, maybe close to three, maybe two and a half. And when I learned from her mother how her marriage was on the rocks, I asked her one day if she wouldn't play tennis with me in a setting, and there were just some very warm feelings that rose up, and we then decided to take a music course together and ride down to Oneonta, and this was a great idea, because everyone in my family except me had been musical, and I didn't know a thing about classical music. And Nancy and I enjoyed that, and we actually had the chance to chat and talk to each other, and I told her pretty soon that I was beginning to have feelings that I didn't know I would have again, and that I wanted her to know that, and that while I didn't want to be bossy about it, I was falling in love, and that she had a lot of adjustments to make with her husband just leaving and so forth. But I said, I'll give you a little while, but I'm not going to fool around. If you aren't interested, just we can remain buddies or friends. And she said, well, I wasn't expecting to hear something quite that direct, but she said, I have to confess that it's sort of mutual. So it wasn't long before we decided that that was the right thing, and she was reluctant to tell her children at first, and I wasn't the least bit reluctant to tell mine, because I'm not a secret keeper or anything like that. And so I think that we were first getting acquainted maybe in September of 77. My wife had died in August of 75. And then over that winter in the music course and the spring, we had certainly decided that this was the direction we were going to go. She had to get officially divorced. And once that was done, we were married in June of 78. My daughter was overseas at the time and said she didn't want me to marry until she got back. But she knew Nancy and she was the one who had babysat for them primarily, and so she knew that this would be marriage that had some hurdles, and it did. Her children are different. We were brought up under different stringencies than mine, and their father was still in town as a doctor at the hospital, and my wife was dead and gone, so that Nancy was hoping that while she wouldn't be a surrogate mother, that she would hope to meld the families and make them one big happy family, which isn't the easiest thing to do. And if you say you've come from a family where there's a split, there's a lot of baggage that everybody carries.
Well, now your children and Nancy's children are all over the world.
Yeah. Holland, Japan, West Coast, East Coast, South, and a couple nearby. 8 of them.
And how many grandkids do you have?
14.
And how often do you see different grandkids and different children?
We see them all at least once a year. It's evident that some you feel attached to in a way that you hope for the best for all of them, and you'd like to see things work out well for all, but some are close to you and consider you an important part of their family, and you consider yourself close to them, and others are certainly not that way, distinctly not that way, which is for Nancy difficult. For me, I can take it or leave it.
I know you recently went to Europe and
yeah.
were able to practice your German. Could you talk a little bit about studying German?
Oh yeah, that's fun. I had German in college, classical 4 quarters of it, a good teacher, likable man, but I was not going to be a professor of German. I was trying to get into medical school. So I forgot about German for close to 40 years. And in the mid-80s, one of the wonderful people in my life, Margaret Elkin, who was German and was a lady who worked in the lab and had been a chemist and biochemist, was willing to take a group of us who were interested in learning German. So we'd go to her home on Saturdays, and we started very much in the primers and started reading the Brother Grimm fairy tales together and then other things. And she was a marvelous teacher and had a wonderful education in Germany, but had left in about 33 or so when she smelled what was happening in Germany. And stayed with her until her death, late in the 90s, I would think. She's probably died in 98 or 99. But in my view, a saint and a giant at the same time. And anybody who knew her felt that way about her. So then there was a 3-year gap in which not much German, although I would read some at home because I was actually finding it easier to read German, not as rapidly or with the same facility, but it was more enjoyable to read German. And then we got another group together, and this is a grand group too. There are about 5 who are native Germans and 4 or 5 of us who are trying to do the best we can. And we get together once a week, and it is Wednesday afternoon. It's just the sort of the fulcrum of our week. We don't want to miss that.
Excellent. I have one more question, and then if there's anything else that I've forgotten to ask you. But you mentioned riding your bicycle to work in the offices is jumping way back to when you were talking about being mayor. So is that something, did you ride a bicycle around Cooperstown?
Yeah.
Primarily to get around?
To the parks and to the dump, which was then located where the baseball Little League Baseball is now.
Okay. Is there anything that I've forgotten to ask you?
Well, yeah, thousands of things, but you didn't, I'm not sure. I mean, since this is part of the oral history, we haven't talked about the folks in the program, the museum program, or NESHA itself, and they've been a big part of my life.
All right, well, what can you tell me about them?
Well, let me start with Fred and Ann Rath. Fred was vice director and was my patient, and his wife was a good friend of my first wife's and a good friend of Nancy's, I mean, devoted friend. And after my wife was killed in a bicycle accident, they were the staunchest friends, aside from my family, and probably even including my family, that helped me keep my feet on the ground. Both were generous, understanding. And tenderer in a way that Fred was not, because he was like many men, a little too macho at times. Macho for a historian doesn't sound quite like what you might expect, but he was that way in a way. But a wonderful friend. And through him, we got to know Milo and Ruth Stewart. And you probably know that he was head of education and was a marvelous photographer. And they've been very grand friends, too. And Wendell Tripp, I've always enjoyed. Lou and Aggie Jones I knew more peripherally, but I certainly enjoyed being in their presence because they were so colorful. And scattered others throughout that program, I would say even now enjoy being with Garrett Livermore and his wife. And there are a few others from time to time who were just special friends, apart from my doctor friends, of whom I can speak very warmly of several, but not of the whole group. I mean, we're not that close. So that I've had a long connection in that sense with the New York State Historical because of the people involved. Not the trustees or the bigwigs, but those who were actually on the forefront of doing the work. And they've been persons that I sort of point to. And one other person, as I speak, comes to mind, who was the caretaker at the Mohican Spaulding Estate, which was a beautiful residence, but was torn down. And this was Vernon Baldwin, who died at about 92 or 3, and was a long-term friend and taught me what I knew about using tools and doing building and sharpening tools and so forth. I was just a very, very bright man, self-taught, so forth. And interestingly, he was also quite a hero to the professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins, who would come up here in the summer. This is Dr. A.M. Harvey. And Dr. Harvey, in Baltimore, when I knew him as my professor of medicine, was a distant, difficult, I won't say strange, but the distance between us was great. But when we were working in Mr. Baldwin's workshop, we got to be quite close friends. So it was interesting that a self-taught carpenter, simple man from Otsego County, could have been the catalyst to bringing Dr. Harvey and me much closer together, because we both had such a, held him in such awe and reverence and so forth.
Excellent.
But I've talked enough, haven't I?
Well, I have another question. I lied. Your speaking made me think of another question. What role have you, what role in the community have you seen the New York State Historical Association take, and has that changed over time?
Well, the start of the museum program, and I guess that's close to 35 years ago, was a big change. And the people who have filled the shoes of Lou Jones have not been the giants that he was. I remember Minor Wide Thomas and hold him in high esteem. Some of the others, without mentioning names, have been less a part of the community than those two, Jones and Rath and Thomas, were, in my view. And I've been more distant from the this because why should somebody busy who's in his 40s pay attention to an 80-year-old who isn't worth much in terms of achieving what he might want to achieve in the local scene? The people that I've known out there were really exceptionally civic-minded in that sense. Some more quietly than others. Sometimes the wives were just as grand citizens as the person or the spouse. Any other questions?
That's all. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great to sit and talk with you.
Okay.